This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast with Philip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
So, do you know the difference between sheetrock and drywall?
Oh boy, I would say yes, but I don't want to be wrong. I know you use them to build homes.
Yes.
And that you're not supposed to just put the nail into the sheetrock. You're supposed to find a stud if you're going to hang something up, supposedly.
Depends on what you're hanging. Yeah. It depends on what you're hanging. Putting up a TV, yeah, you want to find studs. Putting up a, you know, family photo, you can just get a sheetrock anchor. Or a drywall anchor.
What's the difference? Are they the same thing? I feel like they're the same thing.
Basically, they're the same thing. So okay. Sheetrock is a brand of drywall, but because sheetrock is such a popular brand of drywall, people use the term interchangeably, like all Kleenex is tissue, but not all tissue is Kleenex.
Post-it notes, those kind of things. Okay.
All sheetrock is drywall, not all drywall is sheetrock.
Okay, got it.
So, like saying I'm going to make a Xerox. Well, no, you're going to make a photocopy on a Xerox machine.
Okay. And if you're going to punch the wall, make sure you punch the drywall and not the stud, right? Learn that from men with poor temper control.
Got to find out really quick what your pain tolerance is. Yeah. 16 inches on center. Are you a man? So, I got to once again enjoy the indelicate art of doing a huge drywall patch in my living room.
Whose fault was it?
This is not a matter of fault.
Okay.
This is a matter of fire blocking.
Okay.
So fire blocking, and this is still going on, but it was especially aggressive in older homes. Interior walls would have a piece of 2x4 nailed in between the studs to reduce airflow so that in the event of a fire, you would have a slower rate of spread.
Or isn't that just more kindling to burn?
Depending upon the age of the house, yes, that's a good guess. And a lot of factors. So this weekend, we thought that we would finally hang the TV in the family room, put it up on the wall. So I went ahead, found the studs, and then I went and got this cool kit. And so you've got this piece up top that mounts up into the wall. It's got an outlet built into it with a little runner Romex that comes down so that you can plug it in either to an existing outlet or you've got another thing at the bottom that you can set up. The idea being that you can run all your cords through the wall so you don't have a bunch of crap hanging off your TV, right?
Yeah, aesthetics are important.
It makes it look nice. So I found the studs and then I started to cut this hole in the wall. And it's about a 4x6 box that I'm going to mount up. So I cut this 4x6 hole and I start running the Romex down the wall. Clunk. Just about chest height. Clunk. But no, no, no. So I get my flashlight. I get my camera. And this is a good way, by the way, if you're trying to peek into a wall and you don't want to stick your head through the piece of drywall on the other side of an interior wall, get a flashlight and hold your phone camera out over the edge and you can use the screen of your phone to see around the angle.
That's nice.
Sure enough. So perfectly installed fire break, just about chest height, right about my solar
plexus. And so you never, it obviously didn't cross your mind when you did that.
Didn't even think about it.
Okay.
Didn't even think about it. Well, in order to get the Romex down through the wall the way that I want, I've got to drill holes in this fire break. Because what I'll do is I'll pull the wires down and then I'll squirt a little foam in there.
That's why we're never getting a TV.
Yeah. So when my wife left the room, there was a 4x6 hole and a couple of drill spots for where I was going to put toggle bolts. When my wife came back into the room, there was a hole big enough that you could have installed a medicine cabinet in it.
I hope you have a big TV.
She comes in and asks me what I'm doing, and I explain to her what's going on, and that I've got to drill the fire break to pull the wiring to do what we're going to do. And she's standing there and she's looking at this gaping hole in the wall. And she goes, well, what are you going to do about the giant hole in the wall? So, well, pick a color. You're putting in an accent wall. So at like 3:30 p.m. yesterday afternoon, we're back at Home Depot buying drywall and hot mud and tape and paint and texture and blades and blah, 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 blah to fix this wall.
You're the weekend before she's out of school for the summer. You are a jerk.
So now I've got my panel mounted exactly where I want it. I've got the toggle bolts exactly where I want it. I've got the, I did my second dash of mud to just get it ready for texture. Got the texture ready to go. She has masked off the wall. She figured out in about 5 minutes how she wanted to do the accent wall. And so she's ready to rock. She's right now, she's painting all of the wall that she wants painted, except for this section that I've got cut out that's just needs to, right now needs to be sanded and textured and then it can be painted. So by tonight, we'll be done painting the living room wall. By this time tomorrow, my TV will be ready to hang on the wall, finally, and it'll look perfect. I don't want to tell you guys what I spent on all of the extra crap to fix the part that I forgot, that really boils down to I forgot that fire breaks were a thing. But I've come to the conclusion, once again, that homeownership is actually a scam to enrich the shareholders of Home Depot.
True story. Was there something in like your male biological clock that synced with Mr. Skip's clock yesterday?
Was he knocking holes in walls too?
No, but just as bad. So he decided he was going to attack the washing machine, which had had some like buildup. It's one of these top loading like Samsung ones. He bought it when he got the house. It's like a nice set. Okay. And it wasn't, there was like some dirt that was kind of stuck in there. And he was like, you know, I'm going to take it apart. I'm going to clean it. I can YouTube this. He's replaced things in the dishwasher, done all that kind of stuff. Well, that turned in to about a 3-hour workout. Meaning, like, when he was done trying to figure this thing out, he looked like he had just gotten back from a long run. Because, first of all, to be able to work on it and be able to take the parts apart, to be able to clean it out correctly, because apparently you're supposed to do this pretty regularly.
Yeah.
You got to be, like, head down inside the bin of this washing machine. And there was one issue with one part. He was Googling it, YouTubing it, all this kind of stuff. And I came downstairs because I had worked for a little while. I came downstairs and he's like, we might not have a washing machine for a couple days.
Oh, no.
And I went, what? He's like, well, I might have to order this part, blah, 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 blah. And I calmly and coolly said, was this really something that we needed to do today?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yeah, you can get it all put back together. But the point being, I took a moment and went, because in my head, I'm going, great, now we're going to have to buy a washing machine. You thought you were going to get a TV this summer. That ain't happening if we've got to get a washing machine. And I marched my butt right back upstairs, and I sat down at my desk, and I continued to do work because I got to make money if that's going to be the case. And but the point being, the washing machine is back and working. But you're right. If you were a renter, you would just call the landlord. Washing machine's not working.
Sure.
Don't worry about it. Those Samsung top-loading ones, they look pretty. I don't trust them.
Well, you know that Samsung's top-loading washers are just made with LG parts.
Well, no, because I didn't buy this one. It came with the husband. But the point being, he did get it to work. We ran it a few times. And now, you know, the kids, sometimes they'll leave clothes in the washing machine. They're like, no, it smells funny. Well, this is all on you because that washing machine is spick and span.
Very nice.
But anyway, the point being, why do you men want to do home improvements on Sunday? Sunday is for nothing. It is the Lord's day to rest.
We spent all day Saturday doing home improvement stuff. I hung a sail over the back fence,
gross.
Built a little platform for all the pool toys, set up a mister along the back patio, so we've got mist coming down off the patio now. It was It was a good day, man.
I washed the dogs and the cats.
I'm going to put in a dog wash station.
Okay, that'll be a good idea.
That's another one of those like things that we're doing. But I got to say, if you're thinking about punching holes in the wall, first of all, think hard. If you're not sure if you've got a fire break, grab a stud finder. And after you've located your you know,
60, after you put it on yourself and go beep, beep, beep.
I got it. Yeah.
You're not doing it right if you don't do that every single time you get a stud finder.
If you pick up a stud finder and you don't do that, it's like the same as picking up barbecue tongs and not clicking them three times. It's not going to work properly. Use the stud finder to check to see whether or not you got a fire break.
That's a good takeaway from Home Improvement Philip.
Just take a minute. Also, if you don't know how to do drywall, honest to God, there's some incredible tutorials on YouTube. But take an hour and sit down and watch them. If you've never done it before, I mean, stuff like don't buy canned mud. Go spend the money, mix the hot mud. Even if you end up with basically 90% of a bag left over, there's a reason why the pros don't use premix.
Okay, so I have my theory is starting to come to a testable hypothesis because Dave checking in, guilty to the thing about men always wanting to do home improvement on Sunday. Now, here's my next question. Since earlier we were discussing the differences between men and women and selective service. If your wife would have started a project that then led to a couple hundred extra dollars and then God knows how many extra hours of work, would you have been as forgiving of her as I am sure she was of you in this situation?
Would I have been as forgiving of her as she was of me in this situation? Not counting the dozens of times in our marriage that completely unnecessary projects were undertaken and completed by me.
Oh, one of those.
I am incredibly fortunate that my partner has a good sense of humor and her reaction when I announced to her that we would be creating an accent wall. Her reaction was about 30 full seconds of just standing there looking at me like, you've lost your damn mind. It's 3:30 on Sunday afternoon. And then she hops on her phone and spends like 5 minutes going through pictures and comes up with the idea because it's going to be the wall that the TV's mounted on, obviously. And so she's going to do this matte. It's a super, 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 super light gray, almost white, but it's a nice matte, almost a cottony looking paint, and then this really gray blue that's also kind of a matte finish that's going to be the center strip, and then again down at the bottom this white strip. So you'll have these nice broad horizontal lines with the TV sitting like it's on a theater wall. And once we hang the two pieces of art she's got for it up, it'll be this nice kind of balanced, symmetrical thing.
Well, I know who I'm not calling to help put in the TV if we ever get one.
Now, by all means, hire a professional, please. Oh, my God. So anyways, but yeah, the TV will be on the wall tomorrow night.
Probably bigger than the iPad we have, so I'll send them your way. The washing machine does work, though. I had clean clothes.
For now.
It's a new era in news talk. Only on News Talk 580-1059 KMJ.
If you're looking to get your COVID vaccination, because Fresno County a little behind the curve compared to the rest of the state as we're looking forward to a reopening, maybe, June 15th, you can go to kmjnow.com and find out for the Fresno County area and surrounding areas on where to get your vaccines. 12 and up, now eligible. That's Philip. I'm Skip. And speaking of COVID, there's this weird thing about starting to reintegrate, and that is, you know, do people want to touch? Do you just wave? Do you do knuckles, elbows? Are we hugging people again? What is this like as we're starting to get back to normal and organizations are starting to hold events? You can buy concert tickets. You can start planning vacations. Well, there's an opportunity to capitalize and wear your color to clearly communicate to those who are not colorblind just where your boundaries are.
Oh, God. Those who are not colorblind. Oh, good Lord. Okay. This makes sense at a dog park. If you don't know, if you see a dog with yellow on its collar or on its leash, that's caution yellow, as in my dog doesn't do well with either strange people or other dogs. Please keep a respectful distance.
Oh, I had no idea. Okay.
Yeah, that's what a yellow ribbon on a dog
means. Okay.
And my wholehearted recommendation is that you just go ahead and respect it. Everybody thinks they're Caesar Milan until they've got a pit bull trying to eat their thumb. I am 100% on board with people wanting to take it easy, having different comfort levels of physical interaction. I'm not a big touchy-feely person anyways. I mean, good Lord, you and I have known each other, what, a year and a half now?
Mm-hmm.
What, we've shaken hands twice, I think fist bump once? Like that's it, I'm good. We're fine there. And that's not a you thing, that's a me thing. Like, that's...
Right.
I don't do hugging, I don't do close proximity, I don't feel a need for that. My
arms reach bubble.
Yeah, my wife gets to be close to me. Everybody else, keep your hands to yourself.
And I will respect that.
I just don't enjoy a bunch of close physical proximity with other people. And it's not a fear thing. It's not an anxiety thing. It's just like don't touch me thing. So I sympathize directly with people who want to leave it at the elbow bump. I sympathize directly with the people who right now we need to stay at arm's length. Just, you know, a friendly wave is good enough. You're not a golden retriever, Becky. Just tell people that you don't want them getting up in your business.
Well, so I'm a hugger, but I can read people. And if I know, like if I will never go in for a hug for Philip, because Philip very much gives away the 3 feet rule. Like, just don't come in for a hug. You can recognize that. I also don't go in for hugs for people that are creepy, because they give off that vibe too. Philip is definitely not in that category. But I just want to say that, like, you can recognize people who don't want to be touched for sure, and then people who you don't want to touch.
Mm-hmm.
But I do love hugs. There is something that is warm and connecting about that. And if I like you, I'll hug you. But I did have a weird, it wasn't a weird interaction, it was just a new one, because I saw somebody today and I asked, like, are we allowed to hug? Like, is this what we're doing here? And it was this awkward kind of dance thing, but it was asking for consent before we even got to that point.
Okay, that's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's something that I started asking for hug consent prior to COVID, and I'm certainly asking for it now, because I recognize not everybody is as comfortable as I am with it. I think it's the mom in me. Like, if I like you, I just want to, like, hug you.
And I think that that's lovely that there are people in the world who have that feeling and who have that take that pleasure in being close to and comforting to other people. I think that's great. And I don't think that you should feel compelled to apologize for being a hugger. I don't think that you should. I don't think that somebody like me should make somebody like you feel bad because we aren't on the same wavelength. And that's why generally when I get somebody who's not as adept at reading body language who decides to just go for it, I kind of go for the good Christian side hug.
Yeah, that's the Keanu Reeves. Like, you'll never catch Keanu Reeves doing something creepy. You are like Keanu Reeves.
That's very nice of you to say. And that, boy, talk about a human being. All that's almost as far away as you can get from me and still be human. But yeah, I'm good for like the good Christian side hug. I'm a big fan of like the hand on the shoulder thing. Just makes it real clear that like we're acquaintances. I don't need to make you feel bad to make my boundaries known. I don't need to make you feel bad if I'm not feeling good. And this is something that I remember the first time another grown adult said to me, I'd shake your hand, but I'm not feeling well and I don't want you to get it. I can actually like remember that conversation. And that's always stuck with me because it was just that moment of like, oh, it's perfectly acceptable to decline this ritual when circumstances dictate that it would actually be less friendly to make that contact. And I'm perfectly comfortable telling somebody, I'd shake your hand, but my hands are filthy. I've been working all afternoon. Good to see you. And they've got this story about these bracelets, dude, and it's killing me because you're grown adults. You're not a scared puppy. You have a driver's license, dude. Doug Campbell, Wintrust Financial. Just tell Martha you don't want a hug.
So yeah, I know we have to take a break for news, but we'll come back and share with you this opportunity for you to get your pandemic era accessory that signals your boundaries.
I think we should turn it into Handkerchief Club.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast with Philip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
So let me get this straight. Rather than the wristbands, you're advocating that we go to a whole new pocket hanky code.
Oh, wait
for people
a
who don't want to like get hugged or be hugged from the back or what?
Sir, I think that was in your Google search history, not mine. The things you learn off the air someday will.
Oh, I've got it right here in front of me. Oh, okay. We should share it with
everybody. Well, okay, yeah, because so the only thing that I know about like hanky code, if you will, is that certain parts of town you don't wear certain colors, and then also backpacking, never ask to borrow somebody's yellow bandana.
Yes, so I've heard, but there has been an update to pocket hanky code because okay. This is something that really. And this is for all of you that want to send clear signals to people around you. He already knows. This is for when you want to send clear signals to people around you without having to have like an entire conversation. Okay. And it actually originates like Castro and Stonewall, 1970s, 1980s.
It's Pride Month, so okay.
But it's evolved. And so one of the things to keep in mind is that generally speaking, wearing a given color in your left pocket indicates that you are the proactive person in whatever it is that you are signaling you're interested in.
Okay.
If you wear it in your right pocket, you are generally indicating that you would be the submissive partner in whatever it is you're.
Okay. All right. So left pocket, right pocket. Got it.
Yes. And so.
Does it have to be front or back pocket? Does that make a difference too?
Always the back pocket.
Okay. Always back pocket. Got it.
And like these stupid bracelets that apparently grown-ass adults are going to wear so that you know whether or not it's okay to hug them or give them an elbow bump or if you should steer clear like a scared puppy at the dog park for the first time. I'm suggesting that the hanky code be brought back. And this is the Malmberg Pocket Guide to the Pocket Hanky Code, most recently revised in the year 2017. They say if you're tired of well-meaning but time-wasting misunderstandings in train stations, bus depots, and inner-city Carl's Jr. bathrooms, we've got you covered. First of all, the black hanky. This one's pretty well known. The black hanky, of course.
It means rock and roll.
No, it means that you're into discreet chimney sweep role play.
Okay, you know, if you're really into Mary Poppins.
Exactly right. And the red hanky, this is another one that if you're at all aware of the hanky code, you're probably kind of like already white knuckling here. But for those of you that aren't familiar with the red hanky and hanky code, that means that you're only capable of climaxing while unironically using the term late period capitalism.
Boy, it's a good time for those folks.
And then the yellow one this is almost completely universal. The yellow hanky. Again, if you're wearing it in the left pocket, it is that you would be the dominant partner, the giver, if you will, and the right pocket meaning that you would be the recipient, the submissive partner. The yellow hanky, indicating that you're looking for phone sex where the participants find arousal in the receiver being answered in the style of a 1970s father. Yellow.
Like what is the second rule of the afternoon drive? We don't kink shame.
Mm. Then there's the light blue hanky. This one's usually a little bit easier, especially for folks who maybe aren't familiar with the world. The light blue indicating an interest in having your backside squeezed while experiencing brain freeze while wearing matching parkas.
Okay. It's not the weather for that. It'd be very expensive to make your house.
But this is a year-round thing.
Okay. All right. Well, the studio's starting to get cold, so maybe for the next people.
And then there is gray. And the gray's actually more of a psychological thing than a physical thing.
Okay.
The gray hanky generally indicating in the left pocket that life is pain and that one wishes to be told to run up and kick the football that you will inevitably pull away before they go tumbling through the air.
Okay. So a little bit of that Charlie Brown's Peanuts Lucy vibe.
Which is surprising because you would think that would have gone to the brown hanky. But the brown hanky has, once again, a very explicit meaning. In this case, actually irrelevant whether you wear it in the left or the right pocket, the brown hanky. Indicating that one is a beef stroganoff enthusiast with commitment issues seeking the same.
What's the color variation if you're vegan?
There is nothing in here for veganism. There is the purple hanky, which indicates a desire for prolonged, uncomfortably long hugs.
Oh.
See, so that's one that you would not want to be seen wearing a purple hanky.
And if you see somebody with a purple hanky, you just go the other way.
And then there's the green handkerchief. And this is appalling. If you're wearing the green handkerchief, it indicates a willingness to watch Shrek or any of its sequels.
You know, this is the second time in as many weeks where you have talked smack on Shrek. And that is a good movie.
Disagree. Dark green. Can you anticipate where dark green's going?
Oh, no, I can't.
That's a Shrek fan that just put their hanky in the darks at the laundromat.
Okay.
And then finally, the checkered handkerchief. And this is again, one of those kind of semi-complicated.
Like a checkered flag,
like a checkered, like a checkered flag. And this is one of those semi-complicated. You've got to, you just got to be ready to deal with the fact that there's people in the world who are interested in things that aren't like the things you're interested in. The checkered hanky is an indication that the wearer never got over Dale Earnhardt's death and would like to have a long conversation about it.
Too soon for those folks, Philip. Too soon for those folks. Okay, so, but here's the question. What color hanky are you going for? Your birthday's on the way.
I haven't ever knowingly participated in the hanky code thing.
Well, I mean, are you even trying then?
I've been married for 2 decades.
Well, you gotta spice it up sometimes. I mean, like
I did. I punched the giant hole in the living room at 3:30 on a Sunday afternoon. The spice was her buying the Bear premium one coat paint in the exact color she wanted for the accent wall.
Oh, no, you know what? Sometimes the romantic talk just, you know, has to develop like a fine wine. So those are very helpful hanky codes. I would petition that we could bring those in as we're starting to, you know, see more social interaction. In the meantime, though, if you want to get on board with this whole accessory bracelet, red, yellow, or green, there is a link up on our social media page where you can find out where you can order those as well for your next get together.
Are you about the hankies or these stupid bracelets?
No. The hankies will definitely get you called into HR. I was just going back to the article that prompted all of this with the bracelets that you're such a fan. You could order these. So like for instance, at the retirement thing that you might have planned, or if you might have like a social get together, what if you just show up and you have a red one and you just give everybody red ones?
Or, hear me out. Keep your hands to yourself until we've both had enough liquor that it's okay not to.
No. That will definitely end up in HR.
Oh, for the workplace?
Yeah, for the workplace.
There's a reason my office door is always closed.
Okay, so
you know how the managers, the management here. Oh yeah, my door's always open. Mine's not. My door's literally got a special spring in it, so it closes. It'll close in your face if you come into my office.
That is one of the things that we could keep around post COVID, because that's one of the rules, is you can have the mask off if you're in your office with the door closed. And I would be okay with that, because before that might have been like giving the message that you were being antisocial or not friendly or standoffish in the workplace. And now it just means you really care about the health of your coworkers.
Dude, I wallpapered my office window for 3 years so people couldn't tell if I was in there, so I didn't have to respond when they knocked on my door. They know I'm antisocial. Establish boundaries. You don't need a bracelet. Just tell people to get out.
Well, would you look at that? It's almost 5 o'clock. And if you miss any part of the show, you can get the podcast available at kmjnow.com, where you'll also find the podcast from Broski Musan, Ray Appleton, The Weekend Lineup, and more. That's Philip. I'm Skip. Have you been feeling the shaking over the last couple of days, particularly over the weekend? And it's not just because you live like near train tracks.
What is this? I make one joke about you living at the Bluffs and you're saying I live on Skid Row?
There's been some earthquakes, Philip. Last week,
yes.
Josh, who answers our phones, came in and was giving us the rundown, because there were a couple and kind of nearby, and they're kind of sort of continuing.
Yeah, so there's been like 600 microquakes. There was a 5.3 in Southern California, and there is this... I have to tell you, I'm not convinced that it's earthquakes, man.
Then what else would be causing it? Because we decided that it's not like aliens coming from up from the ocean and like pushing through the tectonic plates a la Pacific Rim.
I think it's traffic.
Really? So like when a big like truck drives by here, it shakes the building a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, 603 earthquakes with a magnitude of at least a one happened from Saturday morning through Sunday morning. I think that some of this is just the instruments to detect the activity have gotten better over the years. But if people don't feel it, don't report it. People get so paranoid and wigged out, like, oh, we had 600 earthquakes. The big one's coming. No. The 600 earthquakes actually means that all of that energy got meted out one little shake at a time.
Right. Is it because it's been a while? I mean, I think The last semi-biggish one was in like the Ridgecrest area a couple years back.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a while since we've seen some with some significant movement. Are people just getting squirrely because they're, I don't know, just overly anxious and pointing to everything?
I think that some of it is people misunderstanding the way that Earth Science News gets reported. I think some of it is just you get the sensationalization of this series of earthquakes that's actually completely unremarkable. But people have to remember, we've got this peculiar situation where we've got massive sunspot activity just beginning. And that sunspot activity hitting at the same time that we're also seeing the global polarity destabilized and in the process of reversing means that we're going to have some unusual phenomena. This is part of why you saw the breathless reporting over the Yellowstone caldera. And, oh, it's time. It's going to erupt. Probably not. I think that the energy level has dissipated enough at this point that there may be like slow magma flows, and we'll continue to see that fascinating, beautiful geological behavior in the area. But until we hit the peak of that solar flare activity, we aren't going to know whether or not the magnetic pole reversal actually happens. And if that doesn't actually happen, you're not going to have the core ionization energy necessary to make any of this significant.
Okay. So in part of my head, I'm going, Ragnarok, that's the end times. In the other part of my head, I've come up with a plan because we are all very aware of my anxiety level. And sometimes the tendency as an anxious person to freak out about things that I have zero control over, including the fact of now the poles flipping and earthquakes. I'm going to need like a safe word, Philip. I'm going to need a word that's when you say that word, that's when I really need to panic, because I'm not going to go download the earthquake-o-meter that Blake Taylor tried to tell me to download to stay up on it. And I mean, I'll listen to the radio and listen for the EAS tests, but I need that word. And I know when Philip says that word, like I got to get right with whoever because it's happening. As your partner, this is what I'm asking for.
I'm willing to agree upon some kind of signal that, yes, in fact, there is something to be worried about. But I think that the problem is if this goes worst possible scenario, there's not going to be time to get you word. The amount of activity, the amount of energy that would be dispensed with, you and I are going to be standing in front of St. Peter explaining saint words.
Okay, but
safe words.
For real, do we get an oceanfront property if this all happens?
Oh, if we have the kind of earthquake that would be caused by the magma flow changed caused by the actual polarization reversal, I don't think we've got oceanfront property. I think we've got craterfront property.